Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Disney vs. Disney Debates, the podcast where we're going to figure out definitively what is the best Disney film ever made. I'm your host and grandmaster, Zane C. Weber, and this week we have the second of our wild card episodes.
Wild.
So these are the movies that lost in the first round, but in the popular vote, week to week, you... the audience told me that I got it wrong, and so these movies are getting a second chance.
Oh, I do like that the people are just like, no, Zane, no, no.
It happens. I've been charting it statistically throughout the podcast just to see how disconnected from the general populace I am, and it's about a quarter of the time I get it 100% wrong.
I mean, that's human error, surely.
It's never like, yeah, it could go either way, and so Zane got it a bit wrong. It's always like, I feel really strongly about this choice. No, 75% of the people think I'm wrong. So,
and
you know.
The people believe in these films, which is good for us.
That's yes.
And look, right? Strong and wrong.
Exactly.
Go hard or go home.
So this week we are debating Bambi versus Toy Story 3. So Bambi was number 3 and Toy Story 3 was number 4 in the wild card percentiles.
Oh.
So the way it worked,
I think we should end it here. I mean, the winner is clear.
That's roll credits.
There was 1% in it. So not a huge swing either way.
All right.
So defending Bambi, we have back again, Stacey Hobbs.
Hello. Happy to be here.
How long have you loved Bambi?
Since 1937.
Okay.
So
you
before
look great
it was released.
For your age.
I know, it's been a long time. No, I remember seeing Bambi in the movies as a child, so I'm assuming that's one of the many re-releases.
Yeah.
No, original release, 1942.
I was going to say, and I think you loved it before it existed.
No, I did say that because I was like, that's not the right date. I need a nap. But I do remember seeing it as a child. It's one of my very first, that and Jungle Book are the and Little Mermaid, both my very firm childhood memories of seeing those.
Okay.
Those movies. So she's a banger.
And back to defend Toy Story 3, Gentry.
I hope I do well. I feel bad because it's like, well, you stuffed it up the first time. Good luck.
Honestly.
Try it again.
I don't think anyone holds it against you. I think the Toy Stories go in, I think, with I think people think that they're just going to get through.
Oh, no, that's exactly what I thought last night. Absolutely. I just walked in, cracked my knuckles and went, well, you know, whatever. I'm Toy Story 3.
And so, yeah, I'm also glad that Toy Story 3 gets to have another say. Mm. So only one of these will be going through to the next round where it will fight the other of the wild cards. Now, that was released last week and that was Tangled. So Tangled got through, and this one of these movies will get through to fight each other in round 3.
Dun, dun, dun. These rounds,
it's pretty feisty, hey?
It's getting tense. It's getting harder and harder and harder because you're starting to come up against, like, the best of the best, and she's not easy.
Okay, and before we get any further into the episode, let's introduce our fact checker this week. It is Miranda Selwood.
Hello.
Now, do you have a bias to declare this week?
I should probably mention my love for the Toy Story franchise.
Point but, to Jim.
But to be fair, as the primary debater of Toy Story 2, it's in my best interest for the Toy Stories to, the other ones to, you know, thin the herd, so to speak.
It's true. If Toy Story 2 takes out the debates overall, the winner of the wild card and the pop vote debates will be versing the winner overall.
Yeah, see, I don't want to come up against Toy Story 3.
So I think that makes you
Toy
even.
Toy Story 2 versus Toy Story 3 would be a really weird debate.
Right?
You know what I mean? Because it's like, it well, we have these characters, and you're like, well, so do I. Yeah.
Anyway, so there's sort of a point either way on my stand there for the Toy Stories.
So either way, it's a win for you.
Mm.
I mean, I could always just bribe and be like, well, in the event that I verse you, I'll just give you the win.
No, yeah, see, it seems unlikely that the follow-through would be there.
Or I'll turn up and be cocky and lose. So that's the other way.
To the point of Bambi, it has Thumper, so...
It does have Thumper. Okay, so the format this round is we have... 6-minute opening arguments, which you present the pros of your film and the cons of your opponent's film. You get a warning at 5 minutes with 1 minute to go, and that warning sounds like this. And then you'll be cut off very rudely at 6 minutes by Darkwing Duck saying,
"The jig is up, you jaded, jug-headed jack-in-the-box!"
After that, we go into a cross-examination round where I will be asking the questions and following you up and fact-checking you if necessary. And then after another short break, we'll come back with 3-minute closing statements for you to summarize why your film is the best Disney film ever made.
Ooh.
Okay, let's roll a dice. Jen, yes, odds are evens.
Evens.
It is a one. So Stacey gets to choose whether she goes.
Love that for me.
Stacey chooses to go second. All right.
Second.
I'd like to apologize to all the listeners straight away. The last time I went first didn't go well, so this is stressy.
But now you're back.
I am back. Maybe Backstreet's back. All right. Who knows?
All right.
All right. Well, let's get into it, Jen. You have 6 minutes.
All right.
The warning at 5, and your time starts when you start talking.
Hi, guys. Welcome back. We're going to talk about Toy Story 3. And can I just say that going against a movie like Bambi is tough because Bambi sort of pioneered the way. But my main argument I'm going to put out there is that it's dated now. It's old. You're old. You're a senior citizen, and Toy Story 3 is a lot more in with the times. Like, fact-wise, we had a much larger budget because we have lots more money to spend now because Disney has its stuff together, a lot more awards, nominations for all the things, Best Picture as well, which is not really a thing that goes to animated movies. So straight away, it's just hitting a lot of those notes that Bambi didn't do at its time. Toy Story 3 is already... sort of a lot more exciting and that sort of stuff. And overall, this movie, Toy Story 3, deals with a lot more complicated subject matter and interesting characters and design because we have that sort of flexibility with the fact that we're working with better animation software, we're working with better stories. Characters are already developed so we can play further into them, whereas Bambi was held back with the time. It was held back with the physical making of it. So I find that Toy Story 3 is a lot more exciting, inviting, more interesting for audiences. It was thought out. Multiple versions of this movie were scrapped before it ever made it to like the main drafting process because they wanted to get it right. They weren't going to release it if it wasn't right, and they took a good 11 years to do it. Got all of the original voice cast back, and it's got some awesome names in there. I mean, I feel like I don't want to just say everything I said last time. But the main thing I am going to say as well is the technology is just better. It's just better. At the time, 3D animation for Bambi was a pipe dream. It was a idea that would never come to realization, especially not in 1942 and the years leading up to that. But the physical tech and the programming that has gone into Toy Story 3 is phenomenal, especially now. It's 2019 now, but back in 2010, it was still really like ahead of its prime.
the amount of like individual hairs that have been programmed just for Lotso, there are 16 different lights shining on every individual hair. Like that sort of stuff. And it was unmanageable with like the original. Oh, I'm just getting all nerdy. It's too much. But like, yeah, just the program could patch, you know, program different patches, add in extra properties. The hair is much thinner, has different sort of senses of gravity. They literally program the gravity of individual hairs on characters. They redesigned half of the characters because they, you know, had the tech to do it, especially because the second Toy Story movie was a bit, not super basic, but they had the ability to expand on what they had and make it better and make it better. So 3D is just much more complicated than 2D. So straight away, you can't really compare 2D and say that 2D is necessarily better because it's not technically better. Mm. It's just a drawing, whereas 3D is like a fully rendered object. And then on top of that, they've did it well. The characters as well in Toy Story 3, they've taken all the ones that we love so dearly and expanded on them, made them better, made them more interesting, played against archetypes, made the cast is quite diverse. And on top of that, like also playing into little things where the audience has grown up with this movie. They go through Ken being straight while having really feminine tastes and then going back into the whole collectible culture of the Barbie and Ken dolls, Ken's extensive wardrobe being a part of the plot. Like there's so many little Easter eggs that they thought through, whereas Bambi is just not as thought through because they went with a simple plot and they went with this picture looks nice, we're good. Roll credits. And if you take the audience, for example, one, the audience at 2010 would have really, really appreciated, was waiting for Toy Story 3, needed this ending, was validated. How do I words? The audience was waiting for this movie, loved this movie. But then on top of that, now in 2019, if you give a kid, do you want to watch Toy Story 3 or do you want to watch Bambi? I feel like they're going to pick Toy Story 3 because it's more modern, relevant. It's more visually stunning. And then they're probably going to get bored with Bambi because Bambi spent a lot of time just being like, look, we animated raindrops. Good for us. And Toy Story is like, that's whatever. We can do that. But I mean, against Bambi, one, you're basic. Just quietly. But like, there's all these little things like name a song from Bambi because, oh, damn it, running out of time. Name a song from Bambi because I personally can't. And it's problematic for many reasons. One, this all came out when Disney went through its famed strike, the animator strike. This was also at a time where they didn't let women animate, they only let women color. The physical, like, time it takes to do all of that sort of stuff, they were like, no, men only, sorry. There was actually a letter released from, like, a head of one of the Disney heads rejecting a woman, just being like, it's not in your personal interests to do this. You don't have the type of disposition to animate. This is just for the males. It's pretty, like, hectic. On top of that, they were paying all of their animators terribly. Now it's a lot, like, you know, we're back in the future. Things are going a bit better. But like there's two different types of deer that they sort of animated on, so it's really unclear.
That jig is up, you jaded jughead, a jack in the box.
Darkwing Duck has spoken.
Yeah, that's fair.
But you you've given us a lot of great points there. Any fact checking that needs to be fact checked? Fact checker?
I was just looking into the strikes at Disney, and that was actually Bambi was in production just after all of that had happened. So they were still very much in the aftermath of all of that.
It would have been
drama.
Happening at the same time, though. Because the production of Bambi took a long period of time.
They talk
so
about
the
it.
There was also a war.
The strikes
And it was messy, like the unionizing, and they really like antagonized. They went, if you join the union, you won't have a job when you come back. All the animators were walking out. It was hectic.
Interesting.
It's
perhaps that would be a good episode.
Dark past of Disney.
Dark past.
For Disney grown up.
Mm. But it seemed to mostly affect the production of Dumbo, which was released in 1941.
Yeah, but we're not talking about Dumbo.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
But it's which more brings relevant to a different movie.
Why aren't we talking about Dumbo? Let's talk about
Dumbo. The debate. We're talking about Dumbo.
Three-way debate. I'm debating for Dumbo. Okay, and judging. Okay, well, let's go to Stacey now.
Yes.
You will have 6 minutes.
Yep.
With a warning at 5, and your time starts when you start talking.
Learn from your elders. What would Disney be without Bambi? After all, it was Disney's favourite film. In June 2008, the American Film Institute presented a list of its 10 top 10, the best 10 films in each of the 10 classic American film genres, after polling over 1,500 people from the creative community. Bambi placed third in animation. In December 2011, the film was added to the National Film Registry of the Library of Congress. Bambi provided a strong environmental protection message decades before it became an issue or concern for general society. The movie placed the blame purely on man's shoulders, the destruction of both the forest by fire and the destruction of natural ecosystems and families by gun violence was one that resonates with viewers then and still today. The fear in the eyes of the woodland creatures when the hunter is approaching is palpable. Bambi's mother's simple explanation of man was in the forest to Bambi's questioning of why the animals were so terrified is such a simple yet cutting line. The fact that the movie not only highlighted the damage that humans do to their environment and the impact of gun violence, despite the very strong presence of the NRA in America, is quite astounding for a children's animated film. To this day, the killing of Bambi's mother remains one of the most iconic scenes and imagery within the Disney canon. The reason the scenes of destruction were so powerful and impactful is due to the incredible simplicity and beauty the rest of the movie portrays. Bambi is a simple movie, which allows viewers to draw on the themes and relationships and relate them to their own lives. The lively, illustrative music, the rich, luminous animation, and the bright, likable characters draw the viewer in. Rather than a Packer movie with special effects, the movie focuses on the simple, little moments that make up our lives and children's lives and give them an incredible atmosphere to shine. This beautiful graciousness, love, joy, celebration, and fun is what makes the destruction so jarring. The fact that the hunter shoots Bambi's mother while they're eating together seems immeasurably cruel. The hunter knew he was separating a small child from his mother, which could easily make one death too. Bambi's heartbreak is something that still moves me as an adult and is an event that shapes a generation of viewers. The music is charming and builds a sense of childlike wonder and amazement at the world that grows increasingly beautiful as the movie continues. The level and detail in demonstrating the bustling, industrious, wondrous lives that the woodland creatures lead is breathtakingly beautiful. Bambi's fear of the storm, huddling into his ever-calm mother, is so relatable, and the calm afterwards brings a lovely peace. The music, returning to the chorus and clarinet raindrops, is artfully done. In fact, the movie is incredibly music-driven, and it shines alongside the incredible animation. The animation is incredibly detailed and stunning. Disney insisted on using oils instead of watercolours for the backgrounds, which provides a richness and depth to the animation. The backgrounds look like they could stand alone as works of art. The stunning colours and details on the blossoms that Thumper is attempting to eat is one small aspect that adds incredible realism and beauty to the movie. The character design is incredibly well done. While each creature maintains their key elements to their animal structure, they are wonderfully cute to behold. In fact, Osamu Tezuka, the father of manga in the Japanese Disney, was so taken with Bambi, he watched it more than 80 times as a young person and stated that it heavily influenced his works. Not only this, but Bambi offers a spiritual animal for every grump, friend Owl. His bitter complaining about the springtime celebration is incredibly funny and relatable. Bah humbug. Not to mention the hilarious transformation from the adorable baby voices of Flower, Thumper and Bambi to the deep adolescent voices. Friend Owl's explanation of twitterpation and the adolescent's resultant fear reminds us of that awkward hormonal stage we all experienced. Watching them fall in love is a delight. That girl bunny has moves. In contrast to Bambi's perfect simplicity, Toy Story 3 is a terribly busy film. The toys are constantly going through multiple steps back and forward, and the plot logic doesn't always make sense. For example, the toys are somehow trapped in their room at Sunnyside, yet Woody can just get around and leave with seemingly little difficulty. The movie is constantly jam-packed and doesn't give the viewer much time to sit or enjoy. And Buzz gets reprogrammed. Again. Because that's all we can do with Buzz, because he has no depth of character or purpose other than being the guy who doesn't get it. And this wasn't the only plot device that was recycled for the sequel. Woody was, yet again, sent off to meet new toys, have a new realization, and then come back to his original toy family to save them with his new insight. Something that we definitely saw before, as it was the plot of Toy Story 2. And the daring escapes? Yep, we've seen those from Toy Story in both of the previous movies. The fire scene also goes for like a really long time, like way too long. And really the movie only works because they bank on you knowing the characters already. The relationships between the characters only really make sense if you'd seen its predecessors. If you hadn't, you wouldn't really care for the toys as the relationships were not built. The majority of the movie is spent chasing back and forward. The ending would have absolutely no payoff. Furthermore, the relationship between the toys and Andy is incredibly troubling. The mantra from the movies is that ownership is everything. The message of Toy Story 3 pushes this to the extreme. Live in the attic if that is what your master wants. Be mortally and traumatically wounded when your master loses or damages or literally replaces you with a clone who, in the view of the owner, is exactly the same toy it replaced, no matter how much the previous owner cared for it. The fact that a toy consoles one of Andy's toys with, they can't hurt you anymore, as one would for a person escaping from violence, is deeply concerning. The overall message seems incredibly confusing to the viewer, and the ending is a band-aid solution. Yes, they have a new owner, which will give them another 10 to 15 years max of purpose, but then they'll be in the same places and the same problems again. It also creates anxiety for toy owners for treating toys as they were intended to be useful. And to add some icing on this mess of a cake, we have "You Got a Friend in Me" drilled into your skull 5 million times, featuring a Spanish version for variety. Yay. Overall, it's an okay movie, but it is not the work of art that Bambi is. Bambi helps its viewers realize the impact they have on the world around them and how to healthily cope with life's ups and downs and the series of joys and sorrows that we all have to face in the real world.
Okay, 4 seconds to go. Well done. Ooh.
Now, see, she's much better at time management. I will give you that straight away.
Now, Miranda, we are taking your biases into account. Are there any facts that you need to check?
I did try to confirm the statement that Bambi is or was Walt Disney's favourite film, and it seems a point of contention. Some sources say that Snow White was his favourite film. He's quoted as saying his favourite sequence from any given film is actually from Cinderella. But to be fair, there are also quotes saying Bambi was his favourite. So it's sounds among like the favourites.
It's a little bit like your children, isn't it? Like, you're not meant to have a favourite child.
But
and there's favourite aspects of your children.
If you could ask Walt Disney one question, would it be, what's your favourite Disney film? And of course, he's probably not going to give you a straight answer.
Yeah.
He'll just give you a different one every time.
I did get that from somebody who worked on the film when it was being created. So who said like that was his like favourite work he was.
Yeah, but that's the thing, right? While it's being created, all the other movies don't exist yet, right? Yeah. So does that mean?
So was his favourite film?
Hold on. Toy Story 3 could be his favourite. Yeah. He just wasn't alive.
Exactly.
Wow. So whose fault's that?
Actually, what we've learned is the movie he's currently There's working on is always his favourite.
Walt Disney is saying himself that he favoured Bambi than Toy Story. So mic drop.
Feel free to give me that quote, guys. So,
don't worry. I always take Walt Disney's thoughts on his own films with a grain of salt. Because
oh, that's such a shame. Because for the rebuttal portion, I brought Walt with me. And we're actually, just going to pull him from the grave and ask him himself.
I'm a medium and I'm channeling Walt right now. Isn't it? No, that's a urban myth. Okay, we're going to take a quick break.
This took a turn.
And we will come back with the cross-examination round. Okay, so I have a couple of questions.
Yay. Now, good content.
The way my questions are going to seem like I'm picking on Stacey.
Oh, bring it.
Oh, this is good. Can you help me out?
Well, because I can either ask you to justify a rather unreasonable thing.
Mate.
Or I could ask Jen to defend this rather unreasonable thing.
I mean, we could do half-time subsides.
Okay, so the rather unreasonable thing is the recycled plot argument. Whereas
I don't think that's
whereas you said it's recycled plot, I think they're archetypes of the Toy Story formula that people expect to be in every film.
Are you going to defend it? Or
well, no, I'm going to ask you to justify your reasoning, especially your heinous attack on the song "You've Got a Friend in Me."
That's just mean.
Look, Is points the song for being mean. In and of itself a bad song? No. Do I want to hear that song every 5 damn minutes? No. And it is just like, they're like, we have one banger and we're just going to repeat it. And that's what we're going to do.
Okay.
And it's not a bad song in and of itself. It's just, and I understand, it is the theme song for
Toy Story. So your argument is that it's overused.
It's so overused. It's in the score.
This is the thing.
You've got all these variations of it. It's used again and again.
She's tired. You don't have a banger. Can I just
have you seen?
Okay, no. give me the Bambi song.
Bambi?
Give me the Bambi song.
Did you watch it when preparing for this?
Not preparing for this, but yep. I've seen it so many times.
Part of the joy of Bambi is its score.
Yes.
And it is a majestic score.
I still haven't heard a banger yet.
No, but it's written to the movie. It's written to what's being seen in the movie and it's forwarding the plot.
Well, I mean, that is what a score is.
You've Got a Friend in Me is the same song over and over again, regardless of what's happening in the movie. That's my point, is that the music is more deliberately used.
But there is also an original score for Toy Story 3. I think they only play You've Got a Friend in Me twice, and that's Top and Tail.
It's two times too many.
Okay, all right. Okay, I think
you can give a one. You can give a winner. But yeah.
What's the main theme from Bambi? Because you still haven't been able to give it to me yet.
Well, there's not a theme song because it's got multiple songs. So it's got the storm song where they're all talking about the storm. There's a springtime one, which is where friend Al is like not having it because they're all singing and twittering and carrying on.
But so I could also argue that Toy Story has the same thing, right? So it has You've Got a Friend in Me, which is its overarching theme. But then it has theme music whenever you're in Andy's room. It has theme music whenever you see Bonnie. It has like that huge orchestral freak out moment when all the toys are about to get incinerated. Okay. Well, it has themes for each of the characters.
I don't think this is Toy Story
featured as well.
I would like, Jen, you to tell me why the, I guess, the plot elements, because it's not recycled plot, etc.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the kind of scene. So it's a chase scene. It's an escape scene. It's a heist scene. Why it is not a problem in Toy Story 3.
Absolutely.
Because in any sequel, you have to justify why it's a sequel, why you're producing it. If Toy Story 1 and 2 already exist with these similar scenes.
Well, straight away, it works because they haven't hit pause on time. They've let time play out. Andy is older. So physically, the toys have aged. I mean, you can't see it because they're plastic. The dream. Right? The toys have aged. So they've been through a lot that you can then infer as the audience. But this changes the way they behave. Mm-hmm. There's certain habits that are formed and those habits are toxic, and the movie does point that out as well. But I think there's also something to be said about if it's not broke, don't fix it. So those elements of like the tacky action, the chase scene, the big bad always being this kind of like misunderstood grumpy bum that you're eventually supposed to feel sorry for. These are just archetypes and like plot devices and tropes that are used in all films, really.
Can you tell me why the reprogrammed Buzz is justified specifically? That one moment.
I think that moment works really well for to put a blanket term, the plot, because you're putting a lot of like emotion and connection. Oh, I'm using such basic words.
They're still words. You're still
these are words. They're still working. But like Buzz is, the perfect example of, you know, starts out as a bit of a, like Andy's, not Andy's, oh my gosh, Woody's like rival.
Yeah.
And then that bond is formed and Buzz learns all these things about his past and is a perfect example of like you don't have to be the things you were originally designed to be and you can change and you can forge your own path. Like subtly, not that's the full thing of the movie, but to have him be reprogrammed, they did it differently. They didn't do it the exact same way where it's like, yep, cool, Emperor Zurg, whatever. They just reprogrammed him into a different language, which straight away puts this barrier of communication.
Yeah, Okay.
Immediately. They did it differently. They didn't do it the exact same way. If they just went, cool, and now Emperor Zurg's going to turn up, and now Buzz is going to pew pew everyone with his little laser beam. Like, then it would just be kind of like, yeah, we've seen this before. But they added a new way. They recycled it in a nice way. I mean, again, it's like a, if it's not broke, don't fix it. The hero's journey has been used in hundreds, thousands of films because it works.
Can you name the hundreds and thousands of films? No, that's totally fine.
And that's all the time we have.
6 years later.
Stacey.
Yes.
So no one, including Jen, is denying the fact that Bambi is beautiful.
Yes.
It's a very pretty film.
It is pretty.
Can you speak to
the
simplicity and why that is not a detraction from something that is arguably a roller coaster
built
for kids and for take kids on a ride? Why Bambi and its simplicity is not lesser than Toy Story 3?
So we live in a world that's very technologically focused. And in fact, it's so much so that there is a lot of concern about the amount of stimulation that children are getting from media, be that iPads, be that films. So when you look at the technically the rate of stimulation per frame rate a couple of decades ago till now, it's incredibly high. So there's a lot of detail, there's a lot of stuff getting thrown at kids' brains. When you have that amount of content thrown at your brain, you decrease your attention span in that you need such a higher level of stimulation in order to feel that you are being stimulated. Now, it was made in a very different time and the movies were made differently. The pacing was very different.
Mm-hmm.
Bambi is based from a book, so it had beautiful source material. But I think the joy of Bambi, and as I was watching it again, I thought, this is a beautiful movie, particularly for children, in that it is a rest from a very overstimulating world.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps it clean and clear. And it explores these relationships, and very simple relationships, particularly at the start, because they're all very young. And as a child, learning about, you know, you're meeting people, and then like the beautiful moment when Bambi meets Flower and calls him Flower, and he goes, "I'm not a flower." And then he's like, "But I don't mind. You can call me that." Like, it's a very childlike interaction. It's one that you would see in the playground, and it's one that kids can relate to as far as making friends. So I think I think that is a big trouble in a lot of these newer movies, is it's just the pace is so high and the stimulation is so high that it doesn't actually give kids a rest to process things from their world, because it's just thrown at them all the time. So I think that is the gift of Bambi, is that it's at the kids' level. It talks about stuff that they are experiencing directly. They're not... while Toy Story is fun, it's not necessarily that they're going to be experiencing that they're going to be trapped in a fire pit by a bear that smells of strawberries, you know, like,
I don't know, super relevant.
But they can see this stuff and go, I understand that. And also it gives them a way to process what happens, and that there is loss in the world, and that there is all these different relationships and different things to navigate. Is it simple? 100%. Is that a bad thing? No, I think that's one of its greatest strengths.
At the same time, though, isn't that a little patronizing, that it's like it can only talk to children and it can only talk down to children? No,
because
I think it talks to
adults. Because as an adult, that's something that – and the book itself is an incredibly political book. It was very deliberately political.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there was a lot of controversy when Bambi was released, because it was quite political in its environmental issues and the hunter and the gun violence. So while it's simple, it has a punch. People remember Bambi. They remember that impact, and I think it makes people think about the impact they are having in their environment, because if you make a change in an ecosystem, it has ongoing changes and, you know, domino effects in that system. So it is simple, but I think it's simple, but it's so striking because it doesn't have all this lights and everything else going on. It doesn't have like action and all this. It does have action, but it doesn't have so much that you're overwhelmed by it and don't actually remember what it is.
Okay.
Like, I'm watching Toy Story, and half the time, like, I can't even remember what's going on. Like, this is just happening around me. And you kind of, you get caught up in the action, but the sometimes the point of the action gets lost, whereas this is very clear. You know that they're running from a fire. You know that fire was caused by man. You know that's the man in the forest, and the man is the danger. So it's... it's still got action, but it's not like...
okay.
Pew, 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 pew.
Okay. That's yeah, my there's lots of there's lots of gunplay in Toy Story 3, famously. okay, well, let's take another little break and we will come back with our three-minute summations. Okay, so we are back for the final round, which is three-minute summations of your points. We will be starting with Jen. You'll have 3 minutes.
Ta-da.
With no warning. You'll just be cut off at three.
That's fair.
And your time starts when you start talking.
I'm not even going to spend this time saying that Toy Story is great, because we like Toy Story 3, the Toy Story franchise, we all know it's great, but I just need to like take some time to be like, why is Bambi still a thing? Like, we've moved on. It's been a really long time, and all of the main points that you're like, yeah, but Bambi isn't distracting. Bambi is not, like, giving me epilepsy. That's because they just physically didn't have...
I'm not sure that was the exact words, but sure.
Totally. That was the exact words. But, like, that's purely because they didn't have the ability or the tech to their advantage. They spent days on sequences that lasted 10 seconds because the animators had to draw everything manually by hand on light boxes. And it, you know, and while that's amazing and it's the, you know, the first steps and pioneers of animation, we've moved on and there's so much better, cooler stuff that we can do. So I think it's more exciting that we have a movie like Toy Story 3 that's jam-packed. But I'm also sitting there being like, can we just talk about why the hunters would logistically kill a doe? Like, they're stupid. If you're a hunter, why would you actively kill something that you can't use? Like, it's a game sport, so they can't see antlers. Yeah, Stacey's giving me eating motions. Yeah, but if hunting is a sport, it's not for consumption. It's for the prize. So I feel like having that as your main plot point logistically doesn't make sense. The breeding patterns of the deer are also completely not followed, because all of the smaller game and the smaller animals, they breed in spring. But deers, I'm pretty sure I read online that they don't breed in spring, they breed in autumn. So that's kind of like, they're just like conveniently changing bits so then the movie works. Honestly, David Attenborough would be really mad at this movie.
That, like, those are the big guns. You're pulling them out now.
I'm just upset because I don't want to lose. And I know that, you know, shouldn't get emotional, but I am. Like, just these little facts, they're just dismissing them because they're like, this works well for an allegory and for a children's tale. But the movie is just like, yep, humans are dumb and humans are shit and humans are destroying stuff. And we know this now. We've moved on. Can we talk about things like emotions? And can we talk about things like toxic masculinity? Just interesting topics rather than, hey, humans are bad. And did you know that humans are bad? Like, we get it. We're the worst. We don't want to watch that in a nice, beautiful animated feature forever. But also things like the owl and Thumper wouldn't be friends. Thumper is literally the owl's meal. Like, in the real world... Like this, oh, jeez. So many things. David Attenborough, so mad about it. Like, where is this movie set? It's just sort of vaguely set in the wilderness. There's some talk about that it's in Washington, D.C., but I don't know. I don't know, man.
The jig is up, you jaded jug-headed jack-in-the-box.
On those strong final words, thank you very much, Jen.
Look, respect your elders, children of the future. That's it.
Okay, Stacey. You'll have 3 minutes with no warning.
Can I just note?
Oh, yes.
How good I was not to interrupt.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Now I get to be roasted
myself
for 3 minutes.
That performance.
Your time starts when you start talking.
Disney has a long, rich history, and Bambi is an incredibly important part of that. Look, we've talked a lot about the technology of the film. Good tech does not a quality film make. quality filmmaking is about the story, it's about the characters, it's about the message. Sure, it can look shiny and pretty, but if your story doesn't hold up, if your rules within your world don't hold up, then it doesn't hold up. It's not a good film. It doesn't matter how shiny or pretty it is. And fortunately for Bambi, it is a beautiful, beautiful film, and it also does what it set out to do. We've talked a lot about the Toy Story franchise today, and that is one of the interesting things with Toy Story. It is forever tied into the franchise. It cannot be taken away from that, and that is part of the downfall for this film in particular. It relies on your buy-in to the franchise. It relies on your previous knowledge of the characters, where in Bambi, it is building a whole new world. You're introduced to these characters. You're introduced to this incredible world of these woodland creatures and how they live their lives, and you don't have to have any prior knowledge. You can just enjoy the movie in and of itself. You don't have to watch a whole series of movies in order to understand it. The character design is just beautiful, absolutely gorgeous, and the material is fantastic. And look, some interesting points Jen made. I mean, I don't know why she was arguing about whether or not hunters exist and why that was in the...
I never said that they don't exist.
Why
did
they kill? Why would they kill does when they want to eat?
Is flawed.
That's the whole point of hunting is you kill the animals and you eat them. That seemed like a really weird argument. You argue a lot about plot devices, about the weather and the timing. You have living toys that talk to each other and have a whole other world. Are you going to talk about weird plot devices? That's the mother of all of them. You also talked about focusing on emotions and how Toy Story is either better. I don't know about you, but I feel like the most emotional thing that could happen to a person might be the traumatic death of their mother. Just saying.
If their mother was a deer.
The other thing about Toy Story is I do find it is a lot about the conglomerate of Disney that it is today, which didn't really exist back then, in that it is a lot about branding. We have that damn song that is repeated every time because it is about a brand. It is about selling and it is about making money. Bambi was a piece of art. It was looked at as a piece of art. It was created as a piece of art for children and for children to enjoy and it was created in order to create art and create a story and create joy for people, not to make money on a previously established franchise and in order to get as much money from that as possible. And the whole interesting thing about Toy Story and the whole thing about like, oh, it doesn't matter, we all belong together. In Toy Story 3, Andy makes a choice and he chooses Woody. I mean, that's enough said right there. There's a lot of confusion for those poor toys and I feel for them.
Okay, and that is your time to the second. Well done. So I am going to go over my notes right now. So please, if there is anything that you appreciate in your opponent's films, let them know what it is. Actually, before we get to that.
I love neither of us talked.
Oh, no, I was like, about to go because no, I was like, oh, yeah, first. Okay, I can do that, but go
can
ahead,
I Sam. Can I get a fact check? did Disney not make Bambi to make money?
Yeah. Hashtag capitalism.
Sorry, I'm confused by the double negatives there.
Okay. So Stacey said
Stacey was like, oh, Toy Story 3 was a cash grab.
There to make money. Was Bambi intended to lose money?
No, I mean, I'm not looking that up.
I didn't say it was intended to lose money. I don't say money isn't important. I'm saying that wasn't the primary focus for the creation.
But yes, I was just making a funny little joke.
But this is the thing. Toy Story 3's primary focus was for its original audience.
Girl,
as well.
We done.
Oi.
We done.
I'm just trying to talk to you.
Stacey loves Toy Story 3.
Okay.
I was saying before we started recording that it had been a long... I'd seen Toy Story 3 in the cinema and I hadn't watched it for a long time. And I did fall asleep, but that was fine. I was really tired, but I did really enjoy it. And there was bits that I had forgotten about, like the potato head tortilla.
Yeah, right?
I don't know why that had to happen.
I love it.
Like, I was a little bit tired and I kind of missed the point of why he had to be a tortilla and then they had to get the body. It seemed a little bit convoluted, but it doesn't matter.
I mean...
Again, it was a convoluted plot point, but it was kind of worth it for the lols. And that felt like a big, like, we'll chuck that in there for the lols. There's lots of really funny little sweet things in Toy Story that I really enjoyed. But that in particular, I was like, how did I forget tortilla potato head? How did I forget that? If it was like 90 minutes of that.
And then all
that would be.
You just want to see a potato head and a tortilla.
See, like, just the dangers of him. And just like,
look, I'm sure
being
that there's
around.
Plans for a
spin-off.
You know
what?
There's got to be an app for that. Mr. Deerhead.
It was very, very funny. And yeah, it was enjoyable. And I think everyone thinks of that last scene in Toy Story 3. I think that's, and that was a bit I definitely remembered the most. I was very fuzzy on everything else that happened. I really enjoyed it. But that last scene where he passes on the toys to Bonnie.
Yeah.
And plays, that's a really lovely moment. Like, done very well, like, very deliberately to be emotional. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. But it was a really lovely scene.
But haven't
scene.
You had that moment with your toys where you've grown up and yeah. you've been like, this is not for me anymore? Like, whether that, be you physically throwing them out or whether you be you physically passing them on to somebody yeah. or sending them to a op shop or whatever. Yeah.
So that was a really
It is an emotional time.
Moment. Yeah.
Can I just take a moment to pitch a Pixar short of the Three Stooges, but the Three Stooges are Rex, Ham and Mr. Potato Head?
Absolutely. I would pay good money.
My other favourite thing is, I can't think off the top of my head who the actor is for Rex, but every time he talks and he's on screen, I just see the actor in Rex. Like, it's really... I was like, I can't even remember
like
the line.
Like, in a suit, in like a T-Rex
like,
suit?
Like, that makes me laugh. Like, it's just, there's something about his eyes, I think, they've just made it. And I just see the actor so clearly doing the actions, and it just makes me laugh.
That's something I do love about, like, as animated movies as well, is that they keep in mind who their voice cast is and they kind of like
work
incorporate
that.
Design into it too. And then you're like,
but
oh,
yeah,
I
that
can
always,
see
that
you.
Always makes never fails to make me laugh.
Okay. I have
Jen hasn't said anything nice about Bambi, so how dare you?
Off the record.
To be fair,
I demand
in her opening
my
statement
time.
Jen did say Bambi looks nice.
It does.
I wrote that down as a positive for Bambi before you would even start talking.
A good team player.
Look,
Jen must also.
I will give Bambi like respect where it deserves, like, you know, holding a glass of Pinot in the air being like, cheers, because it did pave the way. And Disney did a lot of insane things with it. Like, they, you know, they got real deer in the studio and life sketched them. Like, that's incredible. Who would do that for their job? Be like, oh, yeah, we just got two deer just in the back. If you're feeling bored, just have a bit of a sketchy sketch. Like, that's very cool. And, like, on top of that, at that time, 1942 and the years leading up, the stuff that they did for that was never done before, or it was just done so well.
And in the midst of a war.
Absolutely. Right. And, like, the multicam setup, and they pioneered a bunch of techniques, which I, as an animator, am being drilled into now. I mean, we don't use any of it because now we're all very lucky with computers and fancy things. But like, just the sheer amount of work and technical drawing skill on that, to capture the anatomy, to capture the movement of the deer, that it's just impressive. Or at least I sit there and I'm just like, oh my god, that's thousands, hundreds of thousands of drawings. Like, that just hurts my soul in a good way, and like I'm super impressed, but like, it's it's a feat.
It was a real job back in the day. It wasn't just like it wasn't just a passion project. It was like you had to do everything by hand over and over and over again. It's a real interesting process.
And just like looking back at all of that work is insane, especially because they'd keep working and they'd send off proofs to, you know, scene directors or like the head of the character, and then they'd come back and go, oh no, you need to change this. So they'd literally go through every single drawing, erase a bit, redraw, or they'd scrap drawings, redraw them again. Like, it's just so much physical work that's kind of what I marvel at the most. I mean, not to be mean, I forget what the movie is about, other than there's a young deer and he's cute and his mum dies. That's literally all I remember.
He's a fun skunk friend and a fun
Aww. But that's about
rabbit
it
friend.
I like I'm just I'm maybe
they
I need
grow up and they have their own children.
I just need the whole overstimulating stuff to be stimulated. I'm like, if you're just talking about a deer for
proof in
how
the
long, I'm
well,
bored.
I
science.
Sorry,
if it doesn't cause epilepsy, I'm bored.
It's a strong argument. I'm standing by it.
Made my decision.
Come on, hit us with it.
Okay, so Bambi is beautiful. It yes. is an amazing achievement. It is a piece of art. It is very simple, and both good things and bad things have been said about that. But when it came down to it, Stacey, you just said it's the quality of the film. And it has appeared on the AFI Top 10 Animated Films of All Time, back when that list was made. But something that wasn't really answered for you, and answered by you, was the fact that Toy Story 3 was nominated, or did it win Best Picture?
It was like...
It was nominated?
Oh, I don't have the things in front of me, but it was nominated for Best Picture, which was the first animated film to be done in like so long.
Yeah.
Years and years and years. Best Picture against the real movies with the real people, you know.
And I think
Oscar nominations, I think all of that.
At this point, in we're not discussing the... We can't really discuss the quality of the film because we're dealing with the upper echelons of Disney itself. And these two films are very different.
So different.
When I watch Bambi, yes, it is a great experience to sit and be still and experience this small story as it pans out and this very emotional story. But also when I watch Toy Story 3, I'm not bombarded. I'm never like running to catch up with the story. It is a very well told story that is obviously a lot of work has gone into the scene work and the editing and how the characters play against each other. So maybe for children there is something to be said there, but just on a personal level, I don't think that Toy Story 3 is a poorly told story. So, again, one of the bad things you said about Toy Story 3 is that it is, and you've got a friend in me, is that it's a brand. And yes, it is a brand. Disney is a brand. Bambi is part of the Disney brand. So again, I can't put too much weight. I definitely recognize that it's a sequel. And so it does lose a little bit of like the creativity that goes into the original content that Disney produces. But Toy Story 3, in her opening statement, Jen, complicated story, complicated characters, complicated designs that are all so perfectly integrated into the film. And it's not that Bambi doesn't do that. It's just on a much smaller scale because, again, technological differences and also budget and personnel restrictions. Yeah. It was done during the war and during a strike during a war. World War II. What hasn't it ruined?
Oh, God.
So I think Bambi is a great film and Toy Story 3 is a great film. I just think that Disney, with the added budget, benefit, resources, the history that includes Bambi, it just makes Toy Story 3 a better Disney film. So congratulations, Jen.
Oh my God.
Toy Story 3 is the better Disney film. Jen. Oh,
thank you so much. I'm just going to cry for like 2 hours now. That was so emotional.
Brand is terrified.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Like a lot of what Jen said, you didn't really answer to because you can't say that Toy Story 3 has poor characters or a poor story.
They're incredibly difficult films to compare
because they're so opposite so ends of the animation timeline as well. Because 3D was starting to become a thing when first Toy Story came around, so they had an extra two movies to perfect this idea.
So and I think too, it's also very different branches of Disney as far as how they did tell stories and the storytelling processes definitely changed significantly in the story. The movies that Disney's churning out now and Disney Pixar are very different. They have a very different lean. They have a very different they're just different.
Motivation.
So
And that's the thing, really you argued so well for Bambi. There are lots of great things written down here, but just there's all of those same things are mostly also in Toy Story 3. Like, we didn't even touch on the emotional toll. Like, Bambi pulls on those heartstrings really heavily, but that incinerator scene in Toy Story 3, that is something that people keep going back to as well.
Yeah. Can we just also say, can we make the David Attenborough yay or nay vote like an official category from here on in? Because I feel like that's very important.
I would be interested to see whether he would prefer Wall-E or Bambi? Which one would get the David Attenborough seal of approval?
That came, seriously, add that in.
Maybe we should. Well, I'll tweet him. Let's see what he says. All right. Well, thank you, Miranda, for fact checking us all the way through to the end today. Thank you, Stacey, for fighting so valiantly for Bambi.
Very welcome. It deserved it.
And thank you, Jen, for fighting once again for Toy Story 3.
We came through.
We'll be seeing you next round, where Toy Story 3 will be taking on Tangled.
Again, I need a drink. I'm glad I'm an adult that can argue Disney movies because I can do it with Pino in my hand.
If you think I have made the wrong choice, you are probably right. So let me know on Facebook. There will be a quiz up there if you're listening to this now. And you can let me know which of Bambi or Toy Story 3 you would prefer. Also, you can find us on Twitter and on Instagram at our home on the web. That's notcanon.com/Disney vs Disney. Also, if you want to help us out, give us a rating and a review on your podcatcher, wherever you're listening to us now, and tell your Disney-loving friends that we exist and to get involved with the debates. We love to hear from our listeners. We get a whole bunch of people sending us messages on Facebook, and I love talking to all of you. So, yeah, do that. Thank you, everyone, for joining me today. We'll be back next week, and until then, keep watching Disney, everyone.
Goodbye. Bye.
Are you a grown-up who loves Disney?
Are you a grown-up who wants all the facts?
Are you a grown-up who spends copious hours arguing with friends and family about the deep intellectual properties of your favourite Disney movie?
Do you want to delve deeper into the realms of Disney with us?
I'm Stacey.
And I'm Georgina.
And together, we're Disney Grown-Up. We are the place to get all of the intellectual debate on your favourite Disney movie.
Get all of those fun facts.
And a whole heap of raw reactions to all of those interesting Disney movie moments. You can find us where any good podcast is found or on our website, thatsnotcanonproductions.com.
Join us for Disney Grown Up.
You know you want to.
A That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.